Chuck Jack Freestyle for Friday, March 3rd, 2007. And you have joined me in Scotland. Yes, I have arrived. Here, this is the sound of what are these? Pounds hitting the desk. Okay, so there's some pounds and some cents. I have no sense. This has been the trip from everyone's worst nightmare. Okay, maybe not everyone's worst nightmare, because mine usually ends up in a fiery plane crash. Didn't end up there, obviously. I am still alive. The trip started out on a bad note and continues to hit more sour notes. We got out of Appleton late. I don't know if this was due to weather in Chicago, weather in... Excuse me while I unpack a few more things. I had to go digging for this lapel mic. I thought I lost it. I knew I had it. It's clipped to the bill of my hat so that I have both hands free and can continue to put away things like my windbreaker. I have to make this actually pretty short because the Belkin Toon Talk eats up batteries, and I don't have a whole lot of batteries on the laptop because I forgot my little UK adapter at work. It's powering the other laptop. Yes, I had to bring two. Anyway, trip got off late because of weather. I was 2 hours late getting out of Appleton, which knew was going to happen. So before we even left Appleton, I rebooked my 4:15 from O'Hare to Heathrow and made that a 6:02. Well, I took a little snooze on the plane in Appleton on the way to Chicago and woke up and we were still circling. Apparently we were in a holding pattern, which was just lovely. So we got in even later than late. Didn't miss the 6:02, was able to get through the concourse, tried the shuttle that goes between Concourse E. We landed at F. Thank you, United. Between E... 2A, if you're interested in the gate and you've ever found that thing. First time I ever tried it, by the way. And got to C1. So I got to my gate on time, and we waited to be de-iced. Apparently there was some serious weather problems. Once we were de-iced, we got off late. We were supposed to arrive in Heathrow at 7:45, but once again, we were in a holding pattern. Lovely stuff, huh? Landed in Heathrow about 8:30 a.m. Should have been originally 5:55 a.m. But, you know, I wasn't in a big hurry. This was the day I was going to go down to Worthing and see Richard, Vobes, and Jimmy. And when I got off the plane, they told me my luggage was missing. Apparently, it didn't make it. Funny, I had a couple extra hours in Chicago. Or maybe my luggage just wanted to say hi to a few friends in Chicago. So I had my carry-on, which had a couple computers and no clothing really to speak of, which was coming in a day later. Thank you, United. So I told them to... you know what I told them. No, I was nice. I told them to ship it to the hotel. I would be coming back to Heathrow after I went to Worthing for a day. So this was Tuesday morning. I told them, make sure it's at the Holiday Inn Heathrow by... Pardon me, just getting distracted by the clothing and whatnot. Make sure it's in the Holiday Inn Heathrow by Wednesday night when I come back. Okay, so I successfully navigated through the London Underground. Thank you very much, Jimmy. Jimmy Hastel of Podcast User Magazine and appearances on Richard Vobes' radio show. Jimmy was kind enough to get me directions. He said, get to Victoria, you can take Victoria Station, take the public train down to Worthing. That was an adventure, because I hopped on the only line available, me being a person of not great talents in subway etiquette, hopped on the only line available, the Piccadilly line. And it went chugga-chugga-chugga, and then I looked up on the map on the wall, and it doesn't go to Victoria. So I had to learn real fast which line to transfer to. So at Hammersmith, I transferred over to the District line and took that to Victoria. Caught the public train down to Worthing, and I was there about noon, but man, was I beat. I didn't get much sleep on the plane. I don't really sleep well on planes. It was about a 7-8 hour trip. and I probably got about two. There weren't a whole lot of people, so I was able to take the window seat and the aisle seat and kind of recline, but there was usually an armrest in the back or my feet were hanging in the aisle. It just wasn't a real pleasant time as far as relaxation goes. So, sorry, just checking how much battery I have left on the iPod. So, got the underground figured out, got the train, got down to Worthing. You know, when customs goes through your stuff, they really go through your stuff. I have a little Tupperware container full of my power strips and things. And now there are batteries all over my suitcase. And I just keep finding more and more battery. The AA's and AAA's have rolled all over the place. So it was raining when I got to Worthing. Kind of a gray day, raining on and off. Walked around town. Actually, I checked into my hotel, Best Western Berkeley, right down on the Marine Parade, I believe they call it. And if you've ever gone to Camstreams and looked at the webcams, you will see Worthing on there. And I was on that little beach walk, walking a bit. Who knows, maybe you even saw me. I have no UK power adapter with me, so I can't even charge my camera battery. We'll get to that in a minute. So, Richard was not home. I knew that going in. He had an engagement up in Birmingham. But I visited with Jimmy. He was driving his bus all day. He drives around the city bus on different routes. Routes, if you're in the UK. And said I'd get done at 4:30. So I just kind of bummed around, took a nap because I was so tired. I had to recharge my batteries and try to get back on UK time. Got to about 4:30, hung around the train station, which was about a quarter mile from his house, and it started raining, and raining, and raining, and raining, and raining, and raining, and raining, so finally I made a dash for it. I did see him pull up to the train station real quickly, but he pulled away just as I was about to run out and say, "How much does it cost to get to your house?" Knowing that he would have appreciated that. Walked over to his house. Kaz was there. Met the girls. Had a nice talk with them. We went out to dinner at a place called Toby Cutlery. Very good restaurant. They've got samplings. It's kind of a buffet with a carvery, not cutlery. Carvery. Toby Carvery. Thank you. And well, there's a man with a knife and there's a buffet of grilled vegetables. Oh, vegetables are to die for at this place. Delicious. And I think I've got everything just about put away. Now I figure out what I need to take to work tomorrow. Turkey, ham, and roast beef. Mm-mm-mm. Good stuff. So Tuesday night we had Toby Carvery with some Yorkshire pudding. Not what the Americans would think of as pudding. This is kind of a, if you've not had Yorkshire pudding, it's a almost like a bread bowl. Kind of like if you've had funnel cakes or tiger paws. Not sweet like that, no sugar on it. So it's kind of bland in terms of the flavor of the actual bread stuff. But it was like a deep fried thing shaped into a mushroom cap or a bowl shaped. I'm not sure what it's for, other than maybe mopping up the gravy. But it was a nice touch. And we had dessert on top of that. Went back to Jimmy's house, had a nice discussion. Talked with him and Kaz for a long time. His two girls, Alex and Pippa, were very friendly. About the same age as Julie and Lisa, so had a few topics of discussion with them about preteen girls and boyfriends and what they do with their friends. And are they friends all the time, or do they have fallouts like Lisa seems to be having? Went back to the hotel, got to sleep a little late. I watched a couple movies. It was still not completely adjusted. And then I got to sleep in. That was Tuesday. It was quite an adventure. Slept until about 7, walked around, took some more pictures. It was a beautiful day Wednesday in Worthing. Nice and sunny. I will get some of these on Flickr, and you can look for them at the usual flickr.com/photo/chuckchat. You'll see the ones. I'll probably make a set for them. Took the underground, or got back to, took the train back to London. got back successfully, and then took the underground to Holborn. I wanted to go to the British Museum, as recommended by Mr. Mark Horstman. He said, hey, if you're in London, you got to stop by. I think you'll really like it. And he was right. I got to Holborn, and I had to make, what was it? I got back on the Victoria Line, then transferred to Central. And Central was delayed quite a bit because there was an earlier fire or fire alarm or fire drill or something. And there were a lot of people standing around on the platform. Wasn't sure I was even going to get on the platform or get on the first subway that came by. But eventually it did. And it was quite packed. Got to Holborn Station. Came up to the street level and tried to find my way based on the little map that I had from the British Museum's website. Navigated there sort of in a crisscross way, hoping I could find my way back to Holborn, because it was just one of those things where you know if you go someplace and you're not really paying attention, it's hard to find your way back if you make landmarks. This happened to us once out in Wyoming. We went to a wedding reception, which was like out in the middle of Sticksville, out kind of on this grassy plain, and you took dirt roads, and eventually they forked and veered and took off, and then it was dark when we had to come home, and we really didn't know if we should go right or left on the way home. Well, that was kind of how it was. I was trying to pay attention to the buildings and things, but it was a little overwhelming, and I'd stop and take a picture every once in a while of a red London phone box or a letter box or a double-decker bus, you know, the typical London-y things. Spent a good 4 or 5 hours in the London British Museum. Just wonderful stuff. Mummies and things from Assyria and Romans and Greeks and the history of money, all kinds of things. It's just amazing sometimes to stop and think that 5,000 years ago, some craftsman sat down and made this pot or this necklace or this trinket, and it's still here. It's 5,000 years. You can barely comprehend a lifetime of 100 years, which is a pretty decent lifetime. And here's a ton more, 50 times that much. I think 5,100, yeah, 50 times that much in terms of time. You know, just generations and generations and generations of people. And, you know, it's kind of funny as I was looking at some of the Roman and Greek statues that, you know, some of them could have been my ancestors. There was a familiar look in the face, the chin, the nose, the eyes. Even though they were just a marble statue, it still had some familiarity to it. I did find out this was the trip full of things that liked to go wrong. So when I got to the front gate of the British Museum, the guy stopped me and said, I was still dragging my suitcase. I didn't have any other luggage. Now on my third day of wearing the clothes that I left Appleton in. But I did have showers. The United counter, when they found out they lost my luggage, gave me one of those cheap toiletry kits with the razor that shaves like sandpaper. Ooh. And for Christmas, a friend of mine got me one of those powered Gillette Fusions, you know, five blades on one side and one on the other. You know, I thought that was a gimmick, but I'll tell you, it really works. I don't get the raspberries under the neck like I do with a cheap razor, and I've been using those double-edged Bics and Gillettes for years. This five-blade job really makes a nice difference. It's easy. I haven't nicked myself but maybe once, and it was real minor, unlike the cheaper blades. So, yeah, they're more expensive, but they give a pretty decent shave, I'll tell you. Anyway, back to the British Museum, he said, you can't take your suitcase in here, you got to go around the block. And those are pretty sizable blocks. I was walking for about 20 minutes. Finally got in, and the lady checked it in. I think it was like 3 or 4 pounds to watch my bag. She gave me a claim check, the whole thing. Walked around, had a great time. Again, lots of pictures. Great historical stuff. Amazing. I wish I had more time because there's so many plaques to read, and I found myself browsing after a while. In the afternoon, there were a whole bunch of little school kids, some in blue uniforms and some in maroon uniforms and some in brown uniforms and some in red uniforms. And it was just so cool to see that. I wish they'd do that in America, actually. I think they should go to uniforms. As much as the kids might complain initially, boy, does that make it handy if you're on a field trip or you know the kid doesn't have to decide what they're going to wear today. Maybe some schools have this, but I know that most of the public schools that I'm familiar with do not have a uniform. Well, I left there about 5 o'clock and did snake my way back to the Holborn station. Got on there and realized, oh, it's rush hour. So people are just packing into this thing and packing into the subway cars. And Holborn went all the way down to, I think I transferred over to Piccadilly Line at some point, and followed that all the way out to the airport. But before you get there, it veers off, and one end goes up to Uxbridge, and the other end goes out to Heathrow Airport. So I had to switch when I got to Acton Town, which always looked like it's Action Town on the sign, but that's just what my brain decided to perceive it as. Had problems. Once I was at the airport, I walked out and I called the shuttle, or I called the hotel, and I said, two questions. Did you get my luggage? Yes, we've got your luggage. The other one was, can you send me a shuttle? Oh, there's no shuttle. You have to get on bus H4. Bus that runs around a circuit. So I go outdoors, and I'm waiting, and I see a bus go by. There goes H6. There goes H1. Here comes H4. I wave, and I flag it down, and the guy waves at me and drives on by. Hey, come on! That was my bus. So I call the hotel back. I said, H4 just went by. Are you at the arrivals gate? Well, yes. I'm at bus stops. They say bus stop 1 through 7, but you know, I haven't seen a bus stop here yet. Oh, you have to be at bus stop 8 or 9. Oh, goody. Couple of signs later, I find my way to bus stop 8 and 9. Brum, there goes H2. H6 stops. H3 stops. And here comes H4. Get on H4. And this thing goes back and forth and in and out and around and about. 20 minutes later, for what seems like 2 blocks, because I can still see the radar tower clear as day, we stop at the Thistle Hotel, and then we stop at the Sheraton, and then we stop at, it was over 30 minutes from the time we left the terminal to the time I got to the Holiday Inn. Get to the Holiday Inn. Oh, we have your bags as she's checking me in. Oh, wonderful. I look forward to seeing them. So I check into my room, and I go up, and I'm ready for a nice shower and some fresh clothes and a shave, and I don't have my shaving cream. I used up all the cheap stuff. I don't have my clothes. I'm waiting and waiting and waiting. A half hour goes by. My suitcase coming up anytime soon? Oh, yes, we'll have it up. The concierge has 2 other tickets he's working on. Oh, terrific. You know, so I look forward to seeing it. And I wait and I wait and I wait, and 15 minutes later, you do have my luggage, right? Oh, yes, he's coming up. Wait, 5 more minutes. You know, now it's almost an hour after I've checked in, and they've told me they've got it. I'm beginning to wonder if they really do have it, or if it went to a different Holiday Inn, because there is another Holiday Inn nearby. I get a call on the phone about 10 to 9. You know, I left the bloody museum at 5 o'clock. I would really not want to commute. This is one of the reasons why I don't live in a big city, is that horrific commute and the traffic. Say what you want about Wisconsin, but I don't have to deal with that. I can go 10 miles, and it takes me 10 miles to drive 10 miles to and from work. 10 minutes, excuse me. Yeah, it takes me 10 miles. I was. But 5 minutes later, I get a call. This is the concierge. Is this Mr. Thomasy? Yes, close enough. I have your suitcase. Well, good. Bring it on up. I'm waiting. Nice to find that out. He's probably just verifying that I was who I said I was, and I was in the right room. You know, these 50 pence pieces are kind of cool. They're 7-sided. They're big. I also have a 2-pound coin. It's like a coin within a coin. If you've ever seen, I think it's a $2 Canadian. It's like silver inside gold. Anyway, got my luggage, had a nice shower. And that was Wednesday. That was quite the day. Had to get up bright and early because I said, what time is the... I've got a 6:40 flight to Edinburgh. Not Edinburgh. Edinburgh. And 6:40, they said, you should really be there about an hour and a half early. Okay, where can I catch the bus? Oh, you can catch it right out here. Same H4? Yes, same H4. I'm starting to expect things wrong, so I have to keep asking the silly questions. Okay. Silly as they might be. And she said, I said, what time? Well, we have a 4:42 shuttle. Ooh, that's early. And a 5:15. That's cutting a little fine if I'm supposed to be there an hour and a half early. I'll catch the 4:42. What time would you like your wake-up call? I'll give it 4:25. So I set my PDA to 4:20. But I make sure it was set for I'm visiting the UK. So I don't wake up at 10:20 or something. Because it was now after 9:30. I'd gone downstairs to the hotel bar, had a pint so that I could get some sleep because I knew I wasn't quite adjusted yet to the sleep schedule. You know, one or two beers will do that to me. Make me nice and tired. Had a shower, had a shave, felt real good. Hopped into bed. And then realized, wait a minute. I'll bet that PDA is going to wake me up at 10:30. Or not wake me up at 4:20, whatever it was. Because they're 6 hours off from Wisconsin to London time. So I checked the PDA, and I said, okay, if I'm visiting the UK and I set this for 4:20, what happens if I say I'm not visiting the UK anymore and I go back to Wisconsin? Hey, look, the alarm's still on 4:20. Fine, I'm not visiting the UK anymore. Just for that reason, I'm not visiting the UK anymore. No, I left everything on home time and alarms, default time, whatever it happens to be. And sure enough, the alarm went off at 4:20, so I caught that one. That one didn't go holy hog wild wrong. Then scrambled, since I already had my shower and shave, I scrambled to get dressed and all my gadgets packed and everything out there, hauling now this big 400-pound suitcase, my garment bag, and my Travelon, which has wheels. So these are all clipped together in one fashion or another. And hauling butt down to the hotel lobby at 4:40 in the morning. She said it was 4:42. I get down to the lobby. It's like 4:40. There's a couple of people standing around. I say, are you waiting for the bus? They said, no. Go to the counter. And I said, where's the bus? They said, you can't get it here. Too many cars came in the parking lot. You have to go down to the end of the street and then take the left, and it's the first bus stop. I'm like, oh, man. I'm already cutting this pretty fine. So I grab my 800 pounds worth of luggage and start hauling butt in the dark down this little skinny brick road, and my suitcase keep falling off the curb, and I'm swearing, and no, I wasn't swearing. I'm trying to make it, and I find two other guys at the bus stop. And they said, are you waiting for the bus? I said, yes. Did they tell you how long it would be? I said, no. They said they told him it was 12 minutes, and that was before I got here, and they told me it was 12 minutes, so they were kind of surprised I didn't say it would be here in 12 minutes, which ironically, H4 pulled up in about 12 minutes. So I got on the bus, and it didn't take 30 minutes to get back. It took about, 10 minutes. It wasn't terribly bad. Got off on Terminal 1, got in, and I had to check into BMI Airlines. Checked in at the little kiosk, because like most airports early in the morning, there's nobody around. Checked in the kiosk, and didn't get my boarding pass. Apparently there was a paper jam. Three kiosks in a row. And at first, I don't know what compelled me. I almost went to the right one, but I switched to the middle. Or so I thought. And had a paper jam. So I go up to a counter for BMI, which I think was the ticketing counter, not the service counter. And I said, I got a paper jam. Is there anything you can do? Well, there's nothing I can do. But that tall gentleman behind you in the blue shirt can help you. So I go find the tall gentleman and I say, excuse me, I was told to seek you out. I have a paper jam in one of the kiosks. He goes over and he opens up the middle one and puts it in diagnostic mode and gets the printer paper all working and prints out a couple samples. I said, can you reprint mine? He says, no, I can't. You have to get in the queue, the line for us Americans, get in the queue and get another one when you check your baggage in. So I'm waiting and waiting. There's two ladies and they're just taking forever. There's three other people in front of me. Finally, a third lady comes along and she takes care of a couple people, and then I finally get in line and I said, hi. Just as I'm about to get in line, I notice somebody else reports a printer problem on the left kiosk. And the same gentleman walks up, opens it up, kind of opens up like a big drawer. And it's full of paper. He's just pulling paper out. He says, this thing was jammed since last night. Oh, that's a lot of PO'd customers. Nobody mentioned anything. So he's doing a fine job at about 5 a.m. of unjamming printers, or 5:15, whatever it was. He wasn't angry or anything. He did a fine job, and I was cordial with him, thanked him, and moved on. He stops me just as I'm getting up to the counter and trying to explain that I need a new boarding pass, and hands me the ones that were in the machine. I didn't go to the left machine. All right, maybe I was tired and did. Swear I went to the middle one. But it wasn't in the middle one, it was in the left one, so I must have gone to the left one. Shame on me, could have solved things just a little quicker. So one thing went my way. A lady checked in my luggage, didn't get lost on this trip, and I hopped up to Edinburgh. And during the trip, I had a tomato and cheese toastie. If you know what that is, good for you. If you don't, it's an interesting treat, because the cheese isn't like Wisconsin cheese, and the tomatoes were kind of chopped up. What do they call it? Chutney. Which look like a few chopped bits of tomato skin to me. If that's what chutney is, then that's what I get. Then the driving adventure begins. Okay, I reserved a car with budget with a GPS. Because there's no flipping way I'm navigating around here by myself with a couple of Google Maps. And then I went, oh, I forgot to print out a couple of Google Maps. And now I'm really boned because I don't remember the address. I don't have the postal code. I need to get from the airport to work, which is about 10 miles down the road. And I called the hotel and I said, where are you? I didn't remember where they were. I kind of remembered on the map, but you know the way the roads snake around, it's really kind of in a pickle. So I spent about an hour farting around at 9 a.m. with the TomTom GPS, learning the menus and trying to plug in waypoints. And I think I found how to get to work, because I'd studied the map a bit and I remembered a few road names, and I went, aha, if I can get there, I can get there. And actually, the building we're in is on an unnamed road. There are several unnamed roads in this little campus division. But I got close enough. And I'm driving along, and it took me a while to figure out what the directions mean. I've never used one of these before. If you have, you probably know the confusion. Driving along, and all of a sudden, Victoria, as I called her, the female British voice, which Scott Reynolds helped me name her after Victoria Station. I needed a name, all right, just so I could talk back to her. Kind of like on RV when Robin Williams, I forgot what he called her, Linda. Mine was Victoria. So where are we going, Victoria? And she says, exit left. Stay left. 200 meters, take the roundabout. Second right. So she's telling you, yeah, there are roundabouts here. And they actually make sense. They're not too bad if you know what you're doing. And I had driven in the UK about 2 years and a few months ago when I was here the first time. I'd made one excursion from our office back to a different hotel, which is a pretty right-left-straight route at 2 a.m., so there was nobody on the roundabouts. And I talked to the director at the time, he's now VP. He was driving me to work, so I asked a few questions, like, how do you actually work these roundabouts? And he told me, they're not that bad. They actually make sense. I wish we'd have more of them in the U.S. We might have fewer stoplights on a whole bunch of these streets. Anyway, despite the GPS, I had to learn what she was saying and when she was saying it, because I made about 3 or 4 wrong turns. And I know I'm in the wrong place when all of a sudden Victoria says something like, turn around at your earliest convenience. And I'm like, oh, screwed up again. Yeah, there was a map, but it was light out, and you couldn't really see the LCD all that well in the bright sunlight when it's up on the dash. And at one point, I almost ran a red light, and I had to hit the skids, and the thing fell off. Excuse me, the thing fell off the windshield. Had a sucker that sticks right up to the windshield, and that fell off. So had to get Victoria. She was riding along on the seat next to me, or in my lap, or... Finally get on the right road, and I'm turning around, and then I realize Victoria's got me going in the wrong direction. Oh, she sends me to a roundabout to do a 180 and head back the other way. This was probably the scariest roundabout. I said they were easy, but this one is nuts. It's big. You can't see around it, and there's 800 people zipping along. I think it was on the A799, I think. I can't remember what road it was on. You could probably find out and query the thing and find out where I went wrong. And I finally get to work, and walk in. Nobody expected me. They didn't expect me till Friday. This was Thursday morning. Originally, my plan was to drive to Kelso, about an hour away. After this adventure, I'll take 10 miles and be done with it. Got to work, had a wonderful time. The trip is going fine as long as I'm not traveling, as you can probably guess. Wonderful time. Took care of a whole bunch of things at work. Got caught up on email. I haven't been online in days. I checked a few Gmail Tuesday night at Jimmy's house in Worthing, but now it's Thursday morning, and things are just piled up at work and piled up at Gmail, and I'm checking things left and right. Got all that cleared out. The office move is tomorrow. I've got to find my way back to the hotel. All right, Victoria, guide me. You can run a demo. You can put in. I knew the address because I had that, and you can put in the postal codes. That's kind of cool. The postal codes in the UK. These are like three characters and three characters, so and they designated a region and then get more refined. It's almost like a street address, all compacted into about 5, 6, 7 characters. So, you know, EH8, 1LQ, will tell you right down to about 3 or 4 houses where it is. That's really cool. I didn't realize that until I go on Google Maps and you type in one of these addresses. And it'll get you there. It's pretty wild. So I printed out a Google Map, and it showed a slightly different route, since I'm in the UK, slightly different route than what Victoria was telling me on the TomTom. And I started following it, and there was this hairpin hook, which I thought was going to get onto some major highway, but don't put me on a major highway, Victoria. I don't want to go on the dual carriageway. And I drove by this apparent neighborhood, subdivision of houses, and went, hey, I was here. That's the fun part about getting lost. You can start to recognize familiar landmarks, because there was a two-lane road in an urban in a housing subdivision, and one lane was closed for road construction around a fairly blind corner. Dangerous thing. And I'm driving along, and I was here. Only I didn't get all the way to the end of the road, because at night, after I went past this road construction, I'm driving. Whoa, there's a cement barrier blocking the road. This road doesn't go through anymore. Well, Victoria, you're telling me to go through. I can't go through. So I backtrack. And this whole time, after I ran the demo to see where to go, because I've kind of studied it that way too, Victoria was talking to me through the demo. She wasn't talking to me while I was driving at all. And there were no icons in the corner. I also noticed that down in the corner, before you get to a roundabout, it will tell you you need to go left, or you need to go right, or you need to go straight through, or take the second exit. You kind of get this icon ahead of time of where you're supposed to go on these roundabouts. Really cool. I'm getting to like this GPS thing. Might have to get one someday. But they're only useful when you're traveling, and who wants to haul something like that along with all my other gadgets? Well, I get to the end of this closed road. I turn around and I go, okay, study the Google map. Apparently Google knows something Victoria doesn't. She's got an obsolete map. Wonderful. Someone's not updating. I'm going to have to tell Budget when I get this thing back to him. So I said, okay, Victoria, we're going on a little excursion. So I'm driving along. And I go, I know where I went wrong. Apparently there's this new part that veers off left instead of going around that hairpin thing and eventually catch up at the next roundabout. So according to Victoria, I'm driving through the sticks, but I know where I'm going because eventually the blue route on the map, I catch up to that and start going in the right direction. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. A couple more roundabouts. I'm getting closer. I'm on the right road. I should be getting to the hotel in about another mile. Go through a couple roundabouts. And I'm back at this crazy hairpin turn place. I went, what the heck? Somehow I got turned around 180 degrees on one of these roundabouts. I probably took the fourth exit instead of the third. I was all pissed. So I turned off, started farting around with the TomTom again, and then Victoria was talking to me again, which made me feel a little better. And this time I knew where I needed to veer off her map, went through, and I finally got all the way to the hotel. So I am here. I am at the hotel. Very hungry. I hadn't eaten but that cheese tomato toasty and candy bar all day. So I looked out when I got out of the car as I was driving up, and there was another Toby Cutlery. Or Carvery. See, I did it again. I don't know why I say that. So I headed over to the Toby Carvery and had another wonderful meal and a pint of Tennent's. Not the best thing, but not bad. And that was my adventure so far. So as long as I'm not traveling, I'm doing all right. Again, I will have pictures of Worthing and the British Museum up and running on Flickr soon. If I'd remember my AC adapter, I would have brought it with me. I need to get a hold of the kids. Lisa may or may not. It's after school for them. May or may not. What do we got? 22:14. It's 20 after 4. She may be on AOL Instant Messenger talking with her friends. And if I can fire up the laptop long enough, I will talk with her and say hi. So until next time, we're probably going out on Friday. I will get another one of these out on Saturday, give you an update to this adventure. Probably not this long-winded. I appreciate you sticking with me. If you've got any comments about the UK, you've been here, you've run through this, the craziness with the luggage, love to hear it. Share it with me. You can send it to truck@truckchat.com or send the voicemail 206-222-2428. It's been a wonderful trip. I hope I get home in one piece. I will be back on Wednesday. So thank you for listening, and take care. 101, everybody. So thank you for listening, and take care. 101, everybody.
Farpoint Media, powered by Podango.